This is A Phantom Pain in the Ass, written by The Knights Who Say Book, and read by Flower Parish. This is a The Queen's Thief fic, rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Irene/Eugenides. The most important part of being a ghost hunter was that you did not call yourself a ghost hunter, because then you'd never be able to take yourself seriously. Paranormal investigator was also out, too much silly media using it. Spirit detective, which Sophus had suggested, earned him a cold glare until he took it back. Ideally, Irene simply didn't put a name to what she did. It was a lot easier to pretend she had a normal job and a normal life that way. If she had to give it a name, she would simply say she helped remove certain persistent irritants from homes. "So you're an exterminator," the boy floating upside down in front of her said. She gave him the blank-faced refusal to comment that led most living people to awkwardly backpedal from whatever they'd asked. This not-living person just grinned at her. "You're hot for an exterminator, but you're not very nice." Monotone, Irene began to chant in Latin. He made a face and whirled around right side up. "Ugh, what's that?" "You're cute to leave," she broke in to say, in case this would be that easy. Some ghosts did pack it up as soon as they were clearly told they weren't welcome. Blech. He wandered away, drifting through furniture, but it didn't look like he had any intention of leaving the house entirely. She picked up one of the candles from the circle of them she'd set up earlier and followed him, continuing the chant. "Really? You're going to follow me around?" He turned to face her, drifting backwards through the living room wall. She had to go around the long way to find him again, and he waited for her. "What is this? Are you haunting me now?" She just kept chanting, candle raised and creating flickering shadows visible through his transparent body. He started chanting back. Thrown, she stumbled over the words and lost momentum. "What's that?" she demanded, wary. He couldn't eject her from the house with an exorcism the way she could eject him, but a poltergeist chanting at you still raised alarm. "Greek," he said. "If you insist on spouting an ancient language, I get to, too." At her stare, he added unhelpfully, "That was the opening of the Iliad." He was floating backwards up the stairs now, hands apparently stuck in his pockets. His body was somewhat blurry in the usual ghost kind of way. You thought you could see it, but it went all weird when you tried to really look at it. It was more of a projection of hands in pockets casualness than a physical pose. Irene followed him, heels sinking into the carpet with each step. She didn't think much of the homeowner's decorating choices, but so long as there was a ghost in the house, a ghost she was being paid to get rid of, there were worse issues than outdated carpeting. Irene restarted her Latin from the beginning. The ghost drifted faster, winding through the upstairs rooms. Whenever she got close to him, he would throw another ancient Greek phrase at her and disappear through a wall, apparently unable to stand the chanting at close distance, but never truly trying to escape her. "I don't want to be here any more than you want me to be here," he finally said to her, the two of them having finally ended up back in Irene's circle of candles in the middle of the living room. Her throat hurt from the constant chanting, and she was frustrated with the slow chase. Normally, an extermination was either fast or difficult, not both long and boring. "Good, then leave." He rolled his eyes. "It's not that easy. I'm bound here. I can either exist in this house or stop existing at all. No thanks. I like being alive." Irene gestured silently at his ghostliness. "I like existing," he amended. "I liked being alive, so I prefer to be as least dead as possible." She sighed. She really hated what she had termed in her head as therapy exterminations, exorcisms where the rituals were insufficient and the ghost had to be talked through their earthly ties and convinced to let them go. Everyone moves on eventually, but refusing the natural order of things, you're depriving yourself of finding out what's next. "Is this a script? You sound like you're reading from a script." It was a script. "It will be less painful and more meaningful to choose to let go of your earthly ties rather than being forcefully cut from them. If you..." "You don't seem to be able to cut my earthly ties, though. Your candle circle thing just made me visible. That chanting makes me feel gross, but I'm still here. Can you actually throw me out, or are you just bluffing?" "I don't bluff," Irene said tartly. She wasn't used to ghosts talking back. Moaning, howling, weeping, sure. Trying to hurt or possess her, occasionally. But the rare ghosts lucid enough to hold conversations in the past had always been either angry or miserable, yelling or crying. They didn't make fun of her or question her qualifications. I wouldn't judge you if you were, the ghost said. Bullshitting is one of the most important skills in life. This was no good. His confidence that she couldn't do anything to him seemed to make his ghostly energy even more stable. The shadows of the living room furniture subtly warped toward him. She was supposed to be getting rid of him, not leaving her clients with an even more powerful pest. She needed to make a point. She grabbed a small jar from the bag over her shoulder. I didn't want to do this the hard way, she told him. The more violent the exorcism, the more likely the ghost would hurt her in the process, so she always tried gentler methods first. But she would fire a warning shot if it would convince the strange ghost that she had enough power that he needed to negotiate with her. With a practiced twist of her wrist, she unscrewed the cap and flung some of the salt inside through him. He stared at her. Well, Normally, there was a lot of sizzling at this point, and wailing and screaming as the ghost painfully tried to keep their energy gathered within their form while the salt burned through them. Oh, was that something? He asked after a moment. She rested her chin on her hand and looked at him. He looked back, bemused. The salt lay inert and useless on the floor where it had dropped right through him. What are you? She asked. A ghost, I'm pretty sure. Well, he looked like one. His incorporeal body acted like one. He had appeared when she completed the ritual which revealed the presence of ghosts, but her tried and true exorcism incantations had little effect on him, and salt, somehow, had no effect at all. Are you a demon? I've been called one, he admitted, but as far as I know, I'm just a particularly annoying human. What's your name? When and where did you die? Ghosts didn't interact quite right with the physical world, but he made a passable attempt at sitting cross-legged in front of her. If he clipped through the floor a little bit, she chose not to mention it. Jen, Eugenides, that is, and I can't remember. He patted the floor next to him, watching how his fingers could go right through it with an almost childish curiosity. He only had one hand, she realized. He looked a bit younger than her, and the vague impression of his clothing, though sketchy, seemed modern. That was some information to get her research started. Jen, she said, you can't stay here. We've been through this already. I'm not dying a second time. Obviously, you can't move on until I've figured this out, but I can't leave you in my client's house to keep leaving notes for them and making noises in their walls. My notes are funny, and I'm very quiet, he argued. So you're going to have to relocate. To where? She sighed, having just realized the answer herself. The only place she could release a ghost and keep it under supervision. My house. You can stay with me while I research this, and as long as you don't cause problems, I'll promise not to exorcise you until such a time as you decide you're ready to move on. He looked intrigued, but hesitated. I don't know how to leave this house. It's less about you leaving and more about me taking you with me. She dug around inside her bag until she found it, a large and apparently empty container. She wasn't in the habit of moving ghosts from place to place, but she had done this once before. She just hoped it would work on whatever he was. Get in. I'm not getting in a Tupperware. It's undignified. You're dead and transparent, Jen. He muttered darkly about being treated like leftovers the entire time, but Irene left the no longer haunted house with a Tupperware full of ghost in her bag. On the bus ride home, with the bag on the seat next to her shaking ominously, she stared out the opaque black window, her reflection in it pale and severe. She had done a good job at tamping down the thought while facing Jen, because she had to. It would be dangerous if he suspected it. But now she couldn't stop it from rising to the surface of her mind. The only thing about ghosts that Irene knew of that could explain Jen's immunity to her was this rule. It was impossible to exorcise the ghost of someone you killed yourself. The end.